Hi there. You're listening to the Nuin Podcast, where we dive into the fashion world, take its seams apart, and look at the truths behind it.
I moved here to study fashion.
Join us every month to explore ethical fashion, from the workers who made your clothes to new materials, fashion's environmental impact, sustainable style, and much, much more. Hey guys. On this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Shay Agbola, social media manager at Susty Vibes, and Lekwa Hope, research lead. Susty Vibes is a Nigerian nonprofit organization and youth-led community of changemakers working passionately to make sustainability relatable and actionable for young Africans. They promote, engage in, and implement sustainable development through community projects. And I'm so excited to be talking to them. So hi guys, how are you? Welcome Shay, welcome Hope.
Hi.
I'm so thrilled to be speaking to you today. How are you guys? How are you, Shay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. We have a meeting, a sort of hangout together with the team later today, so I'm excited for that.
Same as well. Everything is going well here, and it's raining here actually, and for some reason the thunders have been very, very loud, so it's something that's quite off, but I'm looking forward to our hangout today as well, so everything has been perfectly okay.
Nice. So can you start out by explaining to people who might not know Susty Vibes, how Jennifer Uchendu had the idea, how it got started, what it is about?
Well, yeah, of course. My name is Lekwa Hope, and I'm the research lead here at Susty Vibes. And Susty Vibes is different from, you know, most organizations really because of how, you know, youth powered it is. It's a very powerful organization, and Susty Vibes is driven. Well, it started as an online blog initially, and this was just born out of the need to just communicate sustainability to people, because Jennifer realized that, you know, sustainability was just something that was discussed in those high level offices, and it wasn't relatable and accessible to young people really. And Jennifer found that out, and she began to just delve into the world of sustainability. And even at then, it was still very complex with all of the things that was going on. There wasn't a connecting platform from where it was to young people, or to people basically. And then she found that out, and then she started writing about sustainability, and then she was attending sustainability events around the world and country. And then, you know, it grew into a community of young people that just are passionate about sustainability and just try to communicate sustainability in the best way. Our strength is through advocacy and research. So those are our two core strengths. Well, we have about six focus, but those are our two core strengths, advocacy and research.
And do you act all around Nigeria? How many volunteers does Susty Vibes have?
Yeah, we have over 500 volunteers, but
wow.
we don't have in each of the 36 states in Nigeria, but we do have a system where it's divided into geopolitical zones and as well regions. So we have in the north, south, east, but practically in the whole region in Nigeria, sure. But that's how we are in Susty Vibes.
That's a big organization, guys.
But it's still something that is, you know, it's not difficult to get to anybody. That's why I say it's a very different organization. It is big in some way, but like it's still very close, and you know, it's easy to get around and to communicate with people and to meet this person and to meet that person. And the work here has been very, very simplified because of how, you know, just youth-centered and how flat-structured everything is.
Mm. And on your website, you write that your vision is to build a platform for young people to believe in their abilities to transform our world, guided by the principles of gender equality and environmental justice. We strive to co-create a sustainable future within a thriving planet. I love how you mention also gender equality and environmental justice, because often we talk about climate change and climate justice, environmental justice is not at the center of the conversation. Can you speak a little bit on this matter, and especially how climate change affects women and low-income communities, fueling this inequality at different levels?
If you do want to go ahead, Shiri.
Yes, thank you so much, Lekwa. Okay, so my name is Shei Agbola, and I am the communications manager at Susty Vibes. So when we, gender justice is climate justice, that's the first thing that we need to know. And then when we look at, you know, African women, you know, especially in low-income communities, the gender-specific roles that they've been assigned to, like having to go and look for firewood to cook or having to, you know, fetch waters, these tasks are becoming increasingly difficult because of climate change. So let's say you had a well beside your house, you know, maybe 5 years ago. Now this well is dried up and it's much further. And the funny thing about this is that when we look at African women specifically, our mothers, they are the champions of sustainable practices for me. They are practices like, you know, herbal medicine, you know, even when it comes to planting, you know, traditional planting, when it comes to reuse, energy conservation, water conservation, you can't waste light and water where an African mother is. So this just shows that there's potential. And what we need to do now is to empower these women. Mm. And of course, that's at the core of our work at Susty Vibes. We have this project, it's called the Eunice Amaka-Balkone Street Gems Project. So it's dedicated to women. So what we do is that we use the power of art and storytelling. And I know that through the first cohort, we were training some young women in the Niger Delta with photography skills. So we also get cameras to start their own businesses. And then more recently, we are working on the second cohort, and that one is focused on how we can combine the use of single-use plastic and traditional weaving techniques.
Wow.
Makes, you know, that, yeah.
That's so interesting. That's so cool. I didn't know that last project.
Yeah. So that's in the works as well.
Nice. And in addition to these, what are the other ways in which climate change has impacted Nigeria? You mentioned, for example, the water droughts. What are the biggest impacts that you see in your country?
The biggest challenges in Nigeria, I would say, is in adaptation, because the impacts are very, it's kind of like on a spectrum. So once impacts it, it's kind of, first of all, we don't even have great impact, adaptation challenges in Nigeria. So when this impact hit, for example, in the north that are grappling with, you know, the drying lands and desertification coming down from the Sahara, you know, they don't really know how to deal with that. Even the country as well doesn't even know how to deal with that properly. And when you talk about health and flooding down here in the south or southwest, you know, it's still something that we haven't still, you know, having a grasp around, really, because each year we have recurrent floods. I can say every year in Nigeria, particularly in the south, right? And there's still no tangible way to deal with these things, you know. Even in I think last year in Lagos, throughout the whole country anyway, we had like this really widespread flood, and even though it was caused by some mismanagement, you know, but still the rain as well was still a very important factor that wasn't accounted for, or that wasn't planned for in trying to, you know, just manage this thing, because the flood was so devastating that it was dismantling graves and, you know, bringing up dead bodies and, you know, just very stuff that just wasn't, you know, even in the minds of people at all. But really and truly, the impact or the impact level in Nigeria for climate change is something that very wide, you know, it affects economy, it affects social life as well. But then again, I think the greatest problem for regarding impact is the fact that we haven't really still been able to have a grasp on these impacts, really.
I mean, I think we could almost say that it's worldwide. Unfortunately, some countries are getting much more affected and getting the impacts much harder than, for example, some countries in the global north, which actually are the ones most responsible for emissions. But yeah, and I think we, in terms of mitigating and working around to get everyone in different countries to a place where we can protect ourselves and adjust and adapt to these different events, it's going to take us time. You have a series of projects that you launched. Shay, you already mentioned a couple that you look into different areas like climate change and mental health, education for sustainable development, ecofeminism. One of the projects that you have is Susti on the Streets, where you go talk sustainability with people on the street. So what motivated you to do it, and how do these events go? How do you approach people?
Well, it's firstly, that idea was born out of the need, was very similar to the first reason why Sustainable Guys came about, the fact that we need to connect people and make sustainability actually practicable for them. So the whole plan of Sustainable Street is kind of like a behavioral change project where we want to change people's, you know, behavior to the environment. You know, now they don't think as environment as something that they just step on or they can just benefit off of, you know, but something that they can as well give back to by taking care of the environment and as well just making sure that the environment is not in any way hostile towards them whenever disaster happens. So the idea of social is to teach people waste management, about the environment, about how they can come in. And one thing that I should say is that we don't just come in to these communities and marketplaces and, you know, schools. We don't come into these places having an answer to every problem that they're actually facing. You know, we come in and to just see what life is like for them and know how we can support them or know how we can just, you know, imbibe knowledge and make it very didactic in trying to pass across this information and knowledge about sustainability. So the whole idea around sustainability is just to go to the streets, go to communities, go to marketplaces, places that are very, very common, but they're often skipped whenever it comes to development. We go to these places and we just try to just imbibe the knowledge of sustainability and make sure that, you know, they can as well give back to the environment.
And how has it been the reaction from the communities, from your actions there?
Oh, ideally, one would think that, you know, people are not usually very responsive towards those things, but I've been on one of the projects before. You know, I think we have it yearly, right, Shay? We have it yearly. And
yeah, mostly on what day?
Yes, mostly work. So the reactions are very, very supportive. You know, we've seen people even joining us in still cleaning the gutters and cleaning the environment. We've seen people joining us and helping us with the baskets or whatnot. We've seen amazing support, even from the government side as well. We've seen them sometimes they partner with us for this project, you know, and make sure our reach is wide enough. So the support has very, 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 very encouraging, really.
That's so cool, because it's a really important job. It's a really important work that needs to be done, the raising awareness in communities. Then, as you said, it's usually focused on directed this knowledge for companies and for governments, and they need to act. But in the end, it's a shift that needs to happen at all levels, at everyone. And speaking of another project that you do is the Susti Schools, right? Where you go to different schools and you talk to kids about the sustainable development goals. And again, to me, that's so interesting because, as you were saying, I feel like the SDGs are taken as these goals that companies and governments must be aware of and kind of attend to. But it makes so much sense that we have to involve everyone and even kids, because after all, this is when we're trying to protect the planet, protect people, it's them in the future that have to deal with what we bring to them now, with the consequences of what we're doing now, right? What are the activities that you do with them?
I think I would say Sustain School is like my favorite event ever. So what we do at Sustain School is that we incorporate a fun twist. So sometimes this can be games. I know we had a fun hackathon a while back. Sometimes this could be music. Sometimes, you know, maybe screening a movie. So we had those fun twists. So, you know, so the children can actually understand. So it actually sinks into their mind. And aside from that, we try to leave the school with something. So sometimes we could do like a form of upcycling training where we teach children, you know, most times that they can reuse their plastic bottles and make some cool products. Sometimes it's donating recycling bins to the school. so that they can actually start, you know, their own journey. And I'm wondering, now that I'm just thinking about the event, I'm remembering the faces of some of the children that I've gotten to meet, and I'm pretty sure that in their minds too, you know, once in a while, it comes to their head. Another thing that we do is that, like you said, it can seem like it's a tax for companies, and this is just simply because people don't understand. How do I come to a child and say, peace, justice, and strong institution? What does this mean to me? They'll be like, am I a lawyer? What do you mean by that? So we can break it down into simple things that they can relate to around them. So we can say, for example, when it comes to, I like to use gender equity as an example. So typically in Nigerian schools, it could be like a guy has to be a guy has to be end boy, for example, or a guy has to be the class captain,
okay.
And, you know, the girl has to be the assistant. And so we just explain it like that, you know, it actually can be, and the roles can be picked. So just explaining it like that in ways that they can understand and they can relate to, and in a way that they can actually take action from where they are. So that's what Justice School is about.
That's really cool.
I mean, if it's okay to just add a bit, I think one of the reasons Justice School, I believe, is very, very important in the push for sustainability in Nigeria, because, you know, the Nigerian curriculum doesn't really, you know, have a slot for sustainability in the curriculum, which is why we just take these things to them, because, you know, we get that you are teaching these kids life skills and all these things, but if at the end of the day people don't have a good understanding of what sustainability is, you know, it might be very difficult to implement those skills that are teaching them in school. So pretty much having survivors just, you know, go to schools and teach sustainability is very foundational for us, really, and that's why we think it very important.
Yeah. For sure. Actually, when I think of my childhood and what we would learn, I remember from first grade, second, third, like when we were really kids, I remember we would all have to do presentations on global warming and recycling. And we would be making presentations for our own classmates on global warming and recycling. And I remember that was the thing that we talked about the ozone layer, which is very different right now, but it's great that at the time, at least here, we were talking about that so much. And that's what still resonates with me when I think of my childhood.
I learned about climate change first in university. That's how crazy it is down here in Nigeria. So even in Africa. So which is also one of the need for us to just, you know, teach sustainability, because having me learn about climate change the first time in university means, well, there's a lot of work to be done, honestly. So
no, that just comes to show how your project Testy Vibes, how it's so important, the work that you're doing, bringing the awareness for kids, for people in general. And you told me before, Shay, when we were trying to figure out when to meet, that you guys were going to do this Rest for Impact Week, which I think is brilliant. Is it the way you guys found to combat eco anxiety? What do you guys do on this week? Is it planned? How does it go for you guys?
Okay, so it's simple. Everything, you can get lost in, you know, the vibe of making impact, doing and doing, and you forget to take care of yourself. I know I saw this, will I call it a meme or something, that says, don't forget to take care of your second home. That's yourself. So your first home, your planet, your second home, yourself. I think he even said your third home, mental health. I already know that we are big on mental health, eco-anxiety and everything. So we did realize that it was necessary for us to, you know, just deplug. And on my own break, I wasn't doing anything. It's not planned. You can do anything you want. Just no work at all, no posting, anything. On my own break, I remember I was just watching movies and eating and just going out, talking to my friends. Simple. Coming back from the break, I just really feel so refreshed and energized to push now. So, but I'd like your question to share his own experience as well.
Yeah, my break experience was very was it was very cool because, you know, I think I was also dealing with the guilt of not responding to mails, all those things. But I just had to take it's my break. I had to take it and just had to enjoy myself in the best way. Because so I actually did a lot of things. I went out, friends. I stayed in the house. I watched movies. I went for events. It was just very important. And, you know, when I was coming back, I didn't feel like, oh, we're coming back to this work again. I was actually, you know,
excited.
I was rejuvenated, exactly. So rejuvenated and excited for the work, really. So the break was fantastic. And it just shows that, you know, like Shay said, take care of yourself, go home. And really that old saying, all work and no play, it does make Jack dull, but it also makes our work very, very painful. But let me just use painful, really, because if you don't find time to rest, well, you're just going to break yourself, really, and truly. That's just it. So.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. You can't take care of the project that you're working on. Yeah, you need to take that break. And I love that you do that and you promote that and you talk about it, because I feel like sometimes we live in this culture of productivity and we have to do and we have to. And especially when you talk about climate change and climate action, the pressure that sometimes can amount onto people. It's a stressful topic because you guys know the numbers, you know, the reality that you're dealing with. And yeah, so I guess it just makes it really important to take a step back and to be like, okay, now I need to relax to kind of fuel my batteries and back on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the subject, because I've been reading a little bit on it, on eco anxiety, how do you deal with it?
How I deal with, well, first of all, you know, eco anxiety is also on the spectrum too. You know, people have varieties of feelings because of the environment. But I, you know, it's very important that people do not pathologize these feelings of, these feelings, whether it's anger or frustration or depression, you know, you can, it's important not to pathologize because, you know, then it makes it as something that is very bad. But if you start to think of eco anxiety as something that needs to pathologize, but it has to pathologize, then that means it gives that quotation of it being a bad thing, whereas it's just a response to how we're feeling, or it's just a response to the environment, really. So, how I deal with my own my feelings towards the environment is, well, one thing that I haven't done in a while is that I like to go on hikes, but since I can't do that here in Lagos, you know, I usually go on long crazy walks. So, and I do this mostly at nights where I know that, you know, I don't get to be, you know, weary of all the honkings from the car and all that, but I just like take long walks and just try to just. I also like moon watching a lot because it gives me a sense of how, you know, tiny we all are in this world, which we think everything is around us, but really and truly everything is bigger than us, and we have to think bigger than ourselves when we're thinking about the environment. So I like to also just, you know, look at watch the moon, rather take long walks and just watch the stars as well. I think there's something nice to when I was in the house, in my house, not here in Lagos. At night, I usually climb the roof and just sit and just start watching the stars, you know, at night. So it is very relaxing. And just, even though there's so much to worry about, for the environment, but having to just say that, you know, the environment just happens and the world still keeps on moving and the clouds are still moving and the stars are still doing everything it's supposed to do, it just gives you some sort of calmness, you know, that everything, surely everything will be okay. Hopefully everything will be okay. So that's how I'm
doing. I love it because I feel the same in terms of looking at the sky, looking at the stars, whenever, and I do this whenever I'm stressed. It's the best medicine for me when I go out at night. I look up and I just feel, okay, my problems are not that big. Like, this is a big universe. I'm nothing. I am the smallest thing that exists. So relax. This is, I feel like it's putting everything into perspective. It just helps reduce the bigness of what we feel, right?
Yeah. So let me ask you, how do you deal with your anxiety?
The way I feel like my anxiety is just like a feeling of hopelessness where you just feel like, is there any point? Is the government going to do anything? Are people going to make any actual big changes? And honestly, sometimes what I just do is just to unplug, right? Unplug from anything, the social media, the news, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, to take a step back from it.
Yeah, I think that's one other thing that people do. One other thing that I like to do is that, and I like that there's a lot of interfaith conversations going on in the climate space these days. But one other thing that I like to do is just look to God, ultimately, because I believe God is the creator of the universe. He knows everything, and he's the one that can help us. So just speaking to him and bearing your burdens. Yeah.
So, I wanted to ask you guys, what are Susty Vibes plans for the future?
We just celebrated our 70th anniversary.
Congrats! That's so cool.
So much. That was in April. And of course, when you do birthdays or anniversary, it makes you have some sort of introspection and then you start thinking, what am I doing? How am I doing it? But I think whatever our plans are for the future is based on one thing. It's based on, we are big on community. So our plans for the future is, you know, based on our community, seeing our community try, what can we do to, first of all, get more young people? Because we, personally, you understand, I love to see that there are so more young possibilities interested in climate action. And apart from the future, I think how we can make impacts together, first as sustained by, secondly, individually, how can we all move individually in our lives? And of course, we have a lot of projects coming up. One project I'm most excited about is the Susty Vibes Unicorns. So it's creating like groups of people in, you know, universities across Nigeria that are passionate, you know, about sustainability, and, you know, there's a whole plan for that, you know, creating all this and everything. So I think that's one project that I'm excited for in the future.
Thanks. And we're coming to an end of our conversation, but I love asking everyone that I speak to a bit more personal questions. And this is actually more for me because I get to get a bit more inspired from everyone I talk to. So Shay, can you start off by telling us a book or a movie or documentary that you love and that you would recommend?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this question and I'm like, what am I going to say? I want to sound serious. I want to sound acting the same, but during the break, I was binging this movie. It's a series, it's called New Amsterdam, Nothing Deep, right? So it's about the hospital in New York and etc. But what I love about the movie is the main character. His name is Max. And Max is like the ultimate example of resilience. Against all odds, he always finds a way. He's always looking for solutions. He's always pushing. And I think that message of resilience, you know, just stuck in my heart. So I think that's one thing I would recommend if I had to say something, yeah.
Nice. And you like what?
I'm thinking hard. I don't have any books or movies or documentary to recommend to anybody. You know, I don't have any.
What do you love?
Okay, something that I love. Recently I was, I think I've been more into nature documentary, just learn about, because that's what I've been really interested in since a long time ago. So whenever I'm, because Netflix can be very, very overwhelming sometimes, and you just don't know what to watch there. So
yeah.
I just go there to watch documentaries and just cartoons. Yeah, really cartoons and documentaries sometimes.
Nice. And who is someone that inspires you both?
So someone that inspires me greatly is my dad. And then he inspires me not because of, let me just say his name. His name is Professor Agboola And it tells me, you know, lots to do because, you know, he has all this academic thing that he's doing and academic excellence and everything. But it inspires me that kindness is key because that was his watchword. It wasn't even something that I said. It was something that I did. So it inspires me to be kind, to just think about how can I make the life of someone beside me better? How can I make an impact? How can I do this just to make someone's life just 1% even better? So that'll be it for me.
Thank you for sharing. Like what?
Yeah, I think for me, to be honest, I'm mostly because I was thinking about this question some weeks ago. Not this question in particular, but I was thinking about it. I realized that my life has been greatly inspired by women, starting from my mom to my sister to Jennifer. You know, all of these people have just, you know, defying norms and barriers in their own field, and it just makes me. It's like a letter to me telling me that I can actually be more than I am. And it's not the kind of you can do better, but it's always like, you know, I see the gentility and how they take everything with grace, and I'm learning from them how they approach work and they approach family and they approach, you know, their career in general. So that is what these women are, just the people that inspire me a lot. My sisters, Jennifer, my mom, people in this space as well.
Right. And finally, can you leave us with a curiosity about you, something that's very you, the characteristic from you that people might not know or that they'd like to share, something funny?
Shady, how about you?
Before, I'm thinking, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But I mean, something, if I had to say something, one thing that I really love getting that a lot of people may not know, if you actually check, say, my Instagram or my LinkedIn, is that I really love TikTok. I love making them. I love watching them, dances, everything.
Nice. Yeah, I saw on your Instagram some cakes you bake, right? You really...
Yeah.
Totally. That's so nice.
Thank you.
Like, well, what about you?
Yeah, I was thinking, one thing that I know for sure is that I'm very abstract in my mind. And, you know, I think what I can just pinpoint it to is that this moon watching thing that I was just doing, you know, recently, I was talking to somebody about it and I was like, hey, you can actually try it. I was like, and the person was took great surprise in it, like, what does it do to you? And I can't really explain what it does to me, but it's just something that I've known to just try once in a while because it helps. Not for my hair, not because I hate it anyway, but just it's interesting to watch. So I'm very, I think one thing that people may not know about me is I'm very abstract in my mind. And sometimes because of how awkward it might sound, I just tend to limit it to how I tend to limit what I tell people. But if I tell you 1%, it's probably like I'm keeping the rest of the 90 in my head. So I'm very abstract really in my mind. Yeah. I don't know if that counts.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me. And thank you for sharing what you do and Susty Vibes. And thank you for doing the work because it's really important what you do. And also what you don't do when you're on your rest week. That's also crucial. So thank you. Thank you so much, guys. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Yes. To talk to you. You should also share a fun fact for us.
Okay, let me see. Something from me. I guess I can say that I like to sing. And so it's something that I love music, and it's something that relaxes me as well. Something that when I'm super stressed, if I put on some music and I start, you know, singing and just moving, immediately some of the stress just goes away and I'm just immediately, okay, I'm happy. I can do this. I can face whatever. Everything has its time and I can do it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. And if you want to learn more about our guests and some of the topics discussed, check out the info we left in the description. If you like the episode, do subscribe. You'll find out when new episodes are released, and it will also help other people get to the podcast, which wouldn't it just be amazing to spread the word on sustainability and reach more people? Yeah, we'd love that. So there's really nothing left for me to say, and thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode.